Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Each of these testimonies are a seed. Amen. What God looks for is that mustard seed of faith with which you come to Him. Amen. We saw in Sharon, she could not believe that she could do well, but God exceeded her imaginations. John, you are living up to your name. You know, John the Baptist performed, God performed a speech therapy on his father when he was born. So you are living another facet of John as well. Amen. God is able to do exceeding abundantly more than what we can ask or imagine. The burdens that God gives you through pain, do not neglect afflictions. They are a gateway to discovering God's power. And that's what we heard from Brother Shashi. Not just the power that has been on his life, but the seeds of prayer that he has sown in that time. God is faithful to answer. Just as he answered our prayers for him, God is faithful to answer every seed that he has sown in pain. Amen. And what about our Sister Shobha's testimony? Again, God is faithful. When we remain persistent, we are able to see the fruit of his faithfulness. Why don't we rise up and thank God? Just as we sang, he has turned our mourning into dancing. And today, if you have come here, perhaps mourning over one thing or the other, take strength tonight in the place of thanksgiving and say, Lord, thank you for what you have done in the lives of these our brethren. We rejoice with each of our brethren who rejoice here. And Lord, you know the pain that they went through and you saw them through. You know the uncertainties that they went through and you saw them through. Thank you, Father, for you are a God who remains faithful. Even in our unfaithfulness, you remain faithful because you cannot change yourself. Thank you for your faithfulness concerning every cry, concerning every tear, concerning every prayer, concerning every desire. Lord, thank you that you show yourself faithful. And Father, for everyone who's expectant towards you tonight, Lord, I pray let your power manifest in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. You may be seated in God's presence. Tonight, we would be meditating on the topic, being carried into your victory. Being carried into your victory. Amen. Being carried into your victory. I want us to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. We will read. If you are there, shout hallelujah. Let's wait. Luke 5, 17 to 26. If you are there, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are there, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we are there. Let's read one to go. Verse 17. Now it happened, all of us will read, on a certain day, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Verse 18, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling, into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word that brings life, your word that brings healing, your word that brings reconciliation, your word that which is set in eternity. Father, let your word speak to us tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the unfolding of your word that you are showing us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, we all know this story, I think, quite well. There was this paralytic man who was being brought to Jesus, right? Now, if you look at that verse, he was teaching probably in the region around Galilee, close to his hometown, he was teaching. And you see, there was a set of people who were observing him there. It says in verse 17 that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Whom? Everyone who was sitting there, including the Pharisees, including the Sadducees, including everyone who came there, the power was available to heal. But there came one, I would call kind of a jailbreaker. He couldn't even enter, but he came in and tapped into the power that was available. There were many sitting, but only one could tap into God's power. But let's look at one more side. Why was this power available? If you go back a few verses in Luke chapter 5 verse 15, however, it talks about Jesus' ministry. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Look at verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He often himself withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. The secret of power lied in the secret of finding the secret place. He often withdrew himself. Though there were crowds seeking, what was the Lord seeking? He was seeking the face of the Father. And it was not something that was exclusive to Jesus alone, that power. If you remember the early church, let's go to Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 12 onwards. Acts 5, verse 12 onwards. And I will read. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, so that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. You see, that power was available even in the disciples. Why? Because they lived a life of withdrawal. Even when there were multitudes around, they were found in one accord. They were found in the place of prayer. You and I can be sources of healing to the people around us, at least with our tongues. Amen? It can begin from here when we speak life into situations, when we speak the word of God, when we speak the gospel into the hearts of souls around. It brings forth healing. But the power to do so comes in the place of withdrawal, in the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that wherever he goes, the shadow of the Almighty will follow him. Amen? Are you and I willing to find time in that secret place? Willing to withdraw, that we may be carriers of victory into others' lives? That's what the Lord is asking you and I today. Do you want to be a carrier of victory? I know we want to be carried into our victories, but do you and I want to be a carrier of victories as well into others' lives? Let's find that secret place. Let's find that place of withdrawal into his presence. From every din, from every crowd, from every commitment, take time to withdraw and find that secret place. Continuing in that Luke 5 verse 18, you see the paralyzed man, he could not find a way in, right? They had carried him. The power of the Lord was available to heal, but he could not even enter. Right? Not only could he not enter, even when they tried to enter, what happened? He had to be carried above to the rooftop and then brought down. The crowds were all around, that neither could he walk nor could he be carried into the presence of the Lord, except for his friends. Now today, you and I might not be as paralyzed as that man physically, but there are some areas where we might be having that paralysis, feebleness, unable to walk with the Lord, unable to walk with the Lord in our prayer lives, unable to walk a life of witness, unable to walk blamelessly before man and before God. Are we having that kind of a paralysis today? Or it's not just with the Lord, it's with one another that we are not able to walk in agreement, be it as spouses, be it as siblings, be it as brethren, be it as families, be it as colleagues, that we are not able to walk with one another. How can two walk together unless they agree? Is your walk becoming feeble because of disagreements, because of conflicts, because of whatever reason, selfishness, whatever be the reason? Are you suffering a paralytic life today? You may be walking well physically, but spiritually, what about your career? What about your health? Is there any place where your walk is hindered? You are being carried into your victory tonight in the name of Jesus. You see, adversities are God's adverts. Our brother was saying, adversities show us certain things. First thing, sometimes God uses adversities as advertisements. In the case of Job, what happened? Adversities came, but God was advertising Job over there, saying, "Have you seen my servant Job?" Sometimes so that God can boast of you. Sometimes so that you can boast of God. Look at Paul. What did he say? In my adversities, in my weaknesses, I will boast all the more so that the strength of God would be the thing that I would be boasting on. Adversities are opportunities for us to find strength in God. Right? Sometimes God uses adversities as chastisements, sometimes to correct, sometimes to show his love, sometimes to cause us to turn to him. If you look at a king called Asa, 2 Chronicles 16, I'm not going into his story, 2 Chronicles 16, when he began in 15, 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, there is a word of prophecy that comes to Asa saying, if you seek him, I'll read from verse 2, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. This was Asa when he began. He did a lot of reforms. But towards the end, in chapter 16, verse 34, Asa started growing unfaithful to the Lord. And the Lord brought about a sickness on his feet. In verse 12, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians instead. Remember the prophecy that came to him. If you forsake the Lord will forsake you. Now, God was bringing an opportunity of pain so that Asa could go back and seek the Lord and not forsake him. Sometimes God uses adversities so that we would turn back to him even in the last moment of our rebellion. Our brother was singing, even he's faithful to the 99, even when you and I don't measure up, even when you and I struggle in our struggles, he's still faithfully seeking you and I to see if you and I would turn. Sometimes he uses adversities to catch our attention. And this man, he was in that kind of a situation. He could not seek God at that point of time, but there was a helper for him. Amen? There were four helpers for him. Today, if you and I are struggling in our paralysis of whatever situation we may be in, there is a helper. There is a helper who carries us. He's our friend. His name is the Holy Spirit. Have you heeded to him today? Will you allow him to carry you today? Amen? Amen? How does he carry you? He fills you so that you will be carried by him. Would you allow yourself to be filled by the Holy Spirit afresh today so that you can be carried into your victory? Amen? Look at what happened in verse 20 of Luke chapter 5. When his friends, I want to read from verse 19. Look at what the friends were doing. When they could not find out how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. See, this man had palsy, right? But he had pals who could see. He had pals who could see beyond his palsy. He had friends who could guide him to the right place. Today, are you a seeing friend? When others are murmuring, are you joining the pity party and saying, yeah, yeah, it is like that only. It is always like this only. It starts like this, then it will go like that. Or are you saying, there is hope. There is a God who heals. There is a God who forgives. Are you a source of life? I told you it starts with our tongue. What do you speak into situations? As sons of light, do you speak light into the situation? Their faith, the works of their friends, Jesus could identify not because of the falling rubble, not because of the tile that was damaged. What Jesus saw was not the man coming down. What Jesus saw was their faith. In Luke 18, you know, the Lord was exhorting, saying, men always ought to pray and not lose heart, right? But at the end of it, he lays a challenge to the church. In Luke 18, verse 8, he says, he puts a question over there, and you can read it from the screen. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? What Jesus saw then, he's still expecting now and tomorrow when he comes. Persistence in faith. Persistence in faith does not take closed doors as an answer, especially when it is not from God. It doesn't look at circumstances and say, oh, the queue is too big today. Jesus will come another day. I'll come then. No. It doesn't look at the burden of another and say, let him fend for himself. He will find another way. No. It storms and sometimes breaks roofs. There is another kind of faith where the prayer does not even hit the roof. I'm not talking about that. These ones, what happened? They were able to bring a person who could not do anything for himself to his victory through their faith. And the Lord looks for such kind of faith in us. I'm extending the prayer that we prayed in our pre-victory night for us today once again. I want us to open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and he will fulfill the work of faith with power, which means that every work that you and I take in faith, God is able to back it with power. That was the prayer of Paul for the Thessalonian church. Today, are you and I ready to work in faith? Not just walk in faith, work in faith, work into the lives of others with faith. Sow into the lives of others with faith. Are you and I ready for that? Then God is ready to back it with power. We are a church where majority of us are workers in the church. Yeah, we boast about it. I want to ask us, how many of us are putting our faith into work when we come to serve the Lord? How many of us are putting faith into work when we come to serve the Lord? That's the challenge that the Lord is placing before us today. It's not me, it's not man. It is the Lord asking you and I, how are you serving me? Because I recognize faith. And I'm pleased with that. We are studying Hebrews. Let's go on. Verse 21, Luke chapter 5. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Look at the question that Jesus asks. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? Now, if I was in Jesus' position at that point of time, I would be telling what he said to myself, rise up and walk. Because I cannot forgive, nor can I heal this man. It's better to escape from this place. Rise up and walk. Thank God, Jesus is not like me. We want to escape situations many times. Right? There are times that we don't want to answer. There are times that we want to escape a situation. But what did the Lord do over there? He revealed himself over there. And he asks a question over there, which is easier to say? You see, there is a depth in that question. Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk. You know, the easier thing for the Lord to do over there at that point of time was what he did. He caused him to rise up and walk. Your sins are forgiven you. For that, our Lord had to pay a great price. We often skip that portion. It was very, very difficult for the Lord to say, your sins are forgiven you, because he was the one who was going to pay the price for it. Yours and my forgiveness, though it comes free, it was never easy for the Lord. It was never easy for the Lord. It was never easy for the Lord. See, when the Pharisees asked that question, who can forgive but God alone? They realized that very well, right? A man can forgive if another man has offended. I can forgive someone if someone has offended me. I might forgive. In Christ, definitely I will forgive if I am in Christ. But if I am a natural man, if I am not a born-again person, I might find it difficult to forgive. But in Christ, I am able to forgive because I have received forgiveness. Now that apart, how does God forgive? Unless and until a price is exacted for that sin. If someone sins against God, the price of sin is death. And what did the Lord do for that? He himself bore our sickness and our sin on the cross. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Second Corinthians 5, verse 21. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If you look carefully, the passage began with, the power of God was available to heal. But what did the Lord do first? He first set that man's relationship with God right. Son, your sins are forgiven you. He first took the healing of that man's relationship with God and he set that right. Today also, the Lord is here to heal relationships. If your walk with the Lord is broken and you want to be carried into victory with him, the power of the Lord is available here to heal. Every other healing follows. And every other healing, by the way, has an expiry date as well. Right? Even if I am healed, unless the Lord returns, I have to still return to the death to meet, to the earth to meet him. If I am alive and he returns, I will be caught up with him by the grace of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. But otherwise, I will have to wait under the sand for a while to meet up with him. Even the healing that I received in my life has an expiry date. But if my spirit is not right with God, no matter how many healings I receive, I might not be caught up in the air. I might not meet him face to face. God forbid. Today is the day of salvation. The power of God is available here. Amen. Look at verse 25. Immediately he rose up before them. What did the paralytic do? What did he do? Sorry? What did he do? He took up his mat and walked, correct? Did you see another thing that he did? He received the forgiveness. Some of us would have said, oh, I'm not a sinner. Come on, Jesus, you're wrong. No, son, your sins are forgiven you. Lord, you are right. I am a sinner. Thank you. You have forgiven me. When the Lord gives forgiveness, it is for us to receive by faith. This man received his forgiveness. His healing followed. Today, look at that verse again. He rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Whatever carried the man no longer was his burden. He could lift what kept him down. He could lift what kept him down. Today, what is keeping you down? Today, is sin burdening you down? Is helplessness burdening you down? All eyes closed. Are you reconciled to God? Do you want to overcome what is burdening you down? Would you accept Christ's reconciliation tonight? For he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that we might through him, that we might, believing on his death, on his resurrection, on the price that he paid for my sins, that I might become a son or a daughter to God. That is how much he loved me. If I was the only sinner on earth, Christ would have still come. Christ would have still died on the cross for me. That is how much he has loved me. That is how much he has loved you. Are you willing to receive his forgiveness tonight? That is the power that is available today to receive forgiveness of sins, to receive healing in your relationship with God, that you may walk right with Him, that your feeble knees may be strengthened so that that which is lame will not be dislocated. Do not despise the chastening of the Father, for whom He loves, He chastens. God loves you, and even if He has allowed an affliction to come by you, it is for your good. It is so that your walk would become right with Him. Are you willing to accept His chastening tonight and receive healing from His throne? The Lord is calling out to you. The Lord is calling out to you. Choir, please come and minister to us. The Lord is calling out to you. The Lord is calling out to you. What is that burden that you have carried thus far? That time and again it revisits you. That time and again you fall down to the same thing again and again. It has become your mat that others have to carry you out of it. The Lord is asking, do you want to be made whole tonight? If you want, why don't you open your heart before the Lord? For the Lord sees not as man sees. He knows your heart. He knows you by your thoughts. Why don't you open your thoughts to Him tonight and say, Lord, I agree with you. I need help. I need to be carried into my victory. Holy Spirit, will you help me tonight? Would you cry out to God? Peradventure, you need healing. You need physical healing. You need healing concerning relationships. You need healing concerning your life, whatever you are dealing with. You need an intervention from the Lord. Let me call on our elders to please come to the altar. All our elders, please, pastors, elders, please, can you come forward? Please, can you come forward? If you need healing, there are men of God who are here to agree with you in the place of prayer. Let's all rise up. Eyes closed in the attitude of prayer. Let us be like those friends who carried the helpless ones. Why don't you remain persistent in the place of prayer? Even as your brethren come forward, why don't you remain in the place of prayer? If there's anyone who is in need of an intervention from heaven tonight, come forward. The power of God is available here to heal. The power of God is available here to deliver, to remove every burden. The power of God is available here.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know what the setback might be in your life. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what challenges that you face. But you have been informed tonight that you are being what? Being lifted into your victory. Hallelujah. It's assurance that as you step into the month of September, victory is certain. Quickly open your Bible to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, let's look at verse 16 to 19. We are going to read together. If you have NIV, I should have preferred we read the NIV. NIV. Are we ready? Okay, I think it's projected. 1, 2, go. We are reading from 16 to 19. 16. He reaches down from on high and hopes of me. He drew me out of deep water. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes, who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me. That is the pronouncement of God that is lifting you up as you step into the month of September in the mighty name of Jesus. Let us close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and bless your holy name. We give you all glory that yes, the assurance has come once again that you are lifting us up. You are bringing up into our victory. Whatever the challenges we are facing, whatever the setback that is before us right now, it is assured, it is certain that we have been lifted out in that dungeon or problem in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, everlasting Father, that we have been set free. And whosoever you have set free, you have set him free indeed. Father, we appreciate your holy name. As we step into the month of September, testimony will follow in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that is giving us concern, right from this night onward, we are lifted into our victory in Jesus' name. That God Almighty, who has been with you from January, we use the situation you are now to propel you forward to your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name for your word we have heard this night. We thank you. We give you all glory. Your servant that you have used for us, more anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him. Bless the work of his hand so that we can hear more from him in Jesus' name. Bless his family. Bless everything that connected to him. Bless his ministry. And bless us as well in the mighty name of Jesus. And let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. We remember our members that have traveled. Father, they have gone safely. And they shall return with testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, God Almighty, wherever they may be now, the blessing of this night, Lord, you will grant them their own in the mighty name of Jesus. And your name shall be glorified in Jesus' name. As we depart here, let your presence go with us in Jesus' name. Glorify your holy name in the mighty name of Jesus. So shall it be. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all, and do have a wonderful night rest.